Good morning. I want to tell you, as you turn to Colossians chapter 1, that's where we're going to be today. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are happening. It's been an exciting morning with our baby dedication, with our baptism, with our worship, but we have something else exciting coming on January 5th. It's exciting, and you need to be ready. I've talked to you about it already. You need to remember it. We are changing our Sunday morning schedule beginning January 5th. So if you haven't been here, you haven't heard this, now you are. January 5th, 2025, we are launching a new schedule. We're going to have an early worship service at 8:45 a.m. Then we're all going to be in Connect Group together. So whether you're a newborn baby, like many of these up here were today, if you're looking for a group and you want to have a kid, go to their group. I'm telling you, a group had zero kids last year. Now they have 12. But we'll all be in group together. Birth through senior adult will be in groups at the same time, and then 11:15 worship here. So everybody has a little bit of adjustment, but we want to do that first because we want to emphasize our small groups. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today in our worship in our sermon today about the importance of being in a group. But then we also want to help our guests have a great experience. Many of our guests, some of you who are here today, your first experience at our church is our worship service. And if you have young children, our current schedule for young children is difficult to understand, even for someone who's been here 8 years and has to explain it all the time. We want to make it as simple as we possibly can for families and for new people to connect here at our church. And so 8:45 worship, 10 o'clock, everyone will be in our groups. Some of you might still call those things Sunday school, but we have connect groups at 10 and then 11:15 worship. So if you get here on January 5th at 11, awesome. You're early. Maybe for the first time ever, you'll be early to worship. So 11:15 will start. So be looking forward to that. You're going to hear more and more as we get closer to that date. But it's wonderful for us to look forward to that date. As you hopefully have gotten to Colossians chapter 1 today, I know as you think about your life and as you look over the course of history, there's a lot of things that are just unanswered. We just don't know the answer to them. They're mysteries. There are great mysteries in history, like Stonehenge over in England. It's this beautiful, ancient, kind of architectural thing with stones in a circle, and no one quite knows how it got there, when it got there, how it got there, but it's there. Even things in our own country, like the lost colony of Roanoke in Virginia, this seemingly city just vanished overnight. It just disappeared. For all of you students who are in history, you should remember that because you probably just learned it, or you will learn it soon. Just this whole town disappeared overnight. How does that happen? The lost city of Atlantis. Well, maybe not, but it's still a mystery, right? Could it be? Yes, maybe. The tomb of Cleopatra. We have all these renderings of Cleopatra, this beautiful Egyptian woman, that are probably all wrong. Cleopatra was probably 5 foot tall and a slightly larger woman, but everyone thinks that she was this tall, slender person, but we can't find her tomb. One of the greatest people in history, the greatest figures in history, we don't know where she's buried. I have no idea. It's just gone. It's one of the mysteries of the ancient world. Some things closer to home. I wonder, a great mystery, why is there only one word for thesaurus? Why is that? That's a mystery. Why is a carrot more orange than an orange? It's another great mystery of produce. Some things are mysterious. But sometimes, occasionally, a mystery gets revealed. Some of you watch these unsolved mystery shows, and the husband always did it, right? That's like, it's not a mystery. The spouse, maybe not the husband or the wife, the spouse always did it. Just that's how it is, not a mystery. We're going to know in 60 minutes, the spouse did it. But some mysteries get revealed over time, and today, as we look at the book of Colossians, we're going to look at a mystery that was revealed, that had been kept for generations and generations, and then in the absolute right moment in history, that mystery was revealed. So look with me at Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. Paul, as he's writing to the church, he talks about several things here. It's a little bit of a personal testimony about his own ministry and why he has given his life to minister to the church and minister to others. But as he does that, he talks about this mystery that has been revealed. And that if you and I, as the church, we're the church just like the church at Colossae was the church. We're the body of Christ is the church. And if we're going to be servants of the gospel, then we have some tasks. We have some things that we need to make sure get accomplished. We have a calling on our life as a follower of Christ, as a part of the body of Christ, as a member of the church. We have some callings. We have some tasks to carry out. And one of those tasks is as a servant of the gospel, as a servant of the message of Jesus Christ, is to make the word of God fully known. To make the word of God fully known. Paul writes to the church, he says, at one point there was this great mystery. The entire Old Testament was written, which, oh, by the way, if you kind of look at your Bible, the Old Testament takes up the majority of your Bible. Generations and generations and generations where the church didn't exist. Church didn't exist. Because Christ had not yet come to the earth. He had not become God in the flesh. He had not been born. And because Christ is the head of the church, and Christ had not come to the earth, there was no church. It was the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and everyone else. And so there was this great mystery that God spoke to in the Old Testament that he was pointing to in the future that would come. And then Christ did come. And so how do we know God? Well, we know God by knowing Jesus Christ. As I shared last week, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus declares of himself, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. You've seen God. So how do we know God? Well, we know God by knowing Jesus Christ. By knowing the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel means, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we know God by knowing his word. John, the apostle, the disciple, as he wrote in the beginning of his book, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Jesus is the word. And so if I want to know God fully, if I want to know the word of God fully, then I need to know Jesus Christ. And I know his word. I need to know all of his word. Not just the New Testament, not just the parts that I like, not just the verses that look cool on black tape across your eyes if you play football, or on your binder, or on a bumper sticker, not just those great verses. I need to make known and I need to know the fullness of God's word. I need to know all of it. I need to be prepared for all of it. And Paul saw part of his responsibility was to train and to educate and point people to God so that they would know his word. Part of the reason he's writing this letter to the church is because there were some people in the church who had it wrong. Like they had messed it up. They had gotten sideways with the truth of Jesus' message. And so he's writing them to help bring them back into a full understanding of God. And so there's not some of God's word that we didn't know. We need to know all of it. And God has revealed himself. The mystery has been revealed so that we can fully understand his word because we know the person of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you like Legos, but our family likes them a lot. With three boys, Legos have been a part of our life for 23 years. That's how old our oldest son is. And I love Legos. They're amazing. And the people who make them are creative geniuses. And you, if you've ever done a Lego, you know there's a little packet of instructions that they give you. And the packet has no words. Right? If you look at a Lego instruction, there are no words. It's only pictures of the Lego in every form. So from nothing to grandeur. From nothing to the Millennium Falcon. At every turn, it shows you what it should look like, and in the corner, there's a small image of all the pieces that you need to use. And I don't know about you, but gray and black sometimes look alike. Testify. That's true. And sometimes it's hard to tell. Is that six dots on it or eight, right? You got to have a magnifying glass, especially if you get older. But eventually you get and you're like, okay, I got this page, I got this pieces together, and you make it 10 pages down the booklet and you realize something isn't fitting right. And so you look back and back and back, oh, it was that red dot that we missed. And then you have a choice. You have a choice to take everything apart for the red dot. Or you trust that your child, friend, yourself will never know the difference. That's kind of like this. There are times when you and I, when it comes to the Word of God, there are times where we're like, I don't think it's worth it to go back and actually listen to God's word, to follow God's word. And so it might look okay, but it's not right. It's not correct. It's not perfect. And as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, his goal is to help them get to perfection and not to be perfect without sin, but to maturity. Often when you see the word perfect in the Bible, particularly in letters that Paul writes, he's talking about maturity. I want you to get to maturity. And the way you get to maturity is you follow Christ by faith. You know him fully, not just parts of him that you like or care about. No, the whole thing. And so Paul's challenging the church to not just make the Word of God fully known, but he's writing to them so that they would know the Word of God fully. So that they would become fully mature, because that's the goal. As servants of the church, that we as ministers, as leaders in the church, as people who have been called to come inside, not just paid staff, but volunteers and leaders, as servants of the church, our responsibility is to help you become fully mature. That's the goal, is that we would all become fully mature in Christ. In verse 28, Paul uses the word everyone three times in one verse. I've told you lots of times, if you see a word repeated in the Bible several times, pay attention to it because it matters. He says in verse 28, him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone, presenting everyone. That's the goal. We want to warn. We want to help you avoid getting on the wrong path. We want to help you avoid falling into the trap of temptation and sin. For Paul, he's writing to them and say, hey, I want you to stay away from these people who have gone heretical. They're teaching things that are against God's word. Don't listen to them. Stay away from them. I want to teach you. I want you to grow and understand. I want you to mature in your faith. It's why we here at First Baptist, we talk about four things to help us live the abundant life. Four things that help us understand this kind of warning, teaching, process of becoming mature. We talk about worship. That worship doesn't just happen in here at 11 o'clock. That should happen here, but also in your personal life. You should have personal worship where you're studying the Word of God, where you're praying, where you're listening to God. We talk about giving as a part of that. That's a spiritual act of worship when we give, when we celebrate together, but also when we, on our own, dive deep into our relationship with God. So we want to worship together. We want to connect with one another. I spent a couple of minutes earlier talking about our connect groups. Those are opportunities for you and I to rub shoulders with other people, to be known and to know others. Christianity is not designed to be sort of an individual sport. It's not, hey, I just come into the big crowd, I do my thing, and I go home. No, Christianity is designed to be in community, in fellowship with one another, so that we can have accountability, we can have encouragement, so that when life is going well, others will celebrate it with us. And when life is terrible, others will come alongside us. As the scripture says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's the goal of groups. That's why we want to emphasize groups here, to help you mature in your faith for transformational learning. It's great that you're here and we're worshiping, we sing, we pray, you listen to me for a few minutes. But the goal of a group is not just more information. The goal of groups is transformational relationships, transformational learning, that when I walk out, because I've locked arms with other folks in my same stage of life or maybe all over the place, that we together are walking in maturity for Christ. So we want you to worship. We want you to connect with others. We want you to invest. And that's not a money issue. That's a spiritual growth issue, that we invest in our spiritual lives, that I'm actually taking some initiative to become fully mature in Christ. But we as the church, we want to help you. We want to walk alongside you. That's why on Wednesday nights right now, we have Experiencing God, so that you can dive deeper into your relationship. We have some ladies groups, some women's Bible studies that meet. Because of all these people up here, there's some women in our church who have said, we're going to invest in young moms, and we want to encourage them and nurture them and grow them. And so they meet regularly to help these young moms. That's what it's about, that I want to grow in my spiritual life. And so I'm going to take responsibility for that, but then I'm going to come alongside the church as they help me do that. And then finally, we say we want to serve. If I'm going to become fully mature in my faith, my life actually needs to model Jesus Christ. And he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. And so if I'm going to look like Jesus, if I'm going to live like Jesus, then I need to serve. I need to give my life away. I need to help some way, some others, whether that's in the church by being a greeter, helping in preschool. We might have a need in preschool. Serving with students, leading a small group for students, investing in the next generation. Or maybe that's involved in a ministry outside or a community organization. One of the great ways that I've found, because I get to hang out with Christians all the time. Like, that's what I do. So I've had to find a way to serve so that I'm around non-Christians. And so I serve on the Chamber of Commerce and help do that. So find ways to take my faith into the marketplace. That's serving. If you and I want to become fully mature, we need to be people who worship. We need to connect with one another. We grow spiritually and give our lives away for Christ. And the reason we do that is because of what Paul says here. Because the hope of glory, and if you don't know what the hope of glory is, it's not a what, it's a who. The hope of glory is Jesus Christ, and he lives in you. The reason I want to become fully mature is because Christ lives in me. And the first step of walking to maturity is putting my faith in Jesus Christ. The mystery that's been revealed at the exact right time. Paul says in a later writing, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. In the exact right time, Jesus came. Not too early, not too late, at the perfect time, to reveal the mystery of salvation to all people, to everyone, not just to a select group, not just to the nation of Israel, not just to Hebrews, but for everyone. He says, to the Gentiles. I would dare say that's all or at least 99% of us. We're not Hebrew in origin. So Jesus came for you and for me. He was made known so that you and I could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, Paul changes his language here a little bit because normally Paul talks about us, when he talks about Christians, he says, you are in Christ. We're in Christ. But here he changes it and he says, Christ is in you. What an encouragement that is. What a hope that is, that Christ lives in me. That real salvation belongs to me right now. I'll experience full salvation. And those of you that are in Christ, you'll experience full salvation in heaven. But right now, salvation is real. And it belongs to us today. Because Jesus is the hope of glory. And he's our hope for glory. That one day we'll get to experience perfection, eternity with our Heavenly Father. The challenge is, the struggle is, as Corbin so eloquently said earlier, the struggle is life is hard and difficult and challenging. And sometimes we have the erroneous belief that if I just follow Jesus, everything will be great. And there are some in our culture today, and they've existed for a long time, some who say if you follow Jesus, then your life is going to be great. If you follow Jesus the right way, all your problems will disappear. If you follow Jesus and have enough faith, you'll have all the money in the world. And oh, by the way, give me some too. Some people say that. That's not the counsel of God. That's not true. Over and over, the scripture reminds us that life is hard and difficult. And Paul reiterates that again. That as a servant of Christ, struggle and hardship in life our realities. Aren't you glad you came to church today? That's the truth. Our world is marred by sin. And so life is challenging. It's hard. And Paul speaks to the sufferings that he's had, and he points to Jesus. He's like, if I can in just a small way understand the affliction that Jesus endured, then I'm becoming more like Jesus. He acknowledges the difficulty and the hardship of life, particularly in that culture, particularly in first century. Christians were the minority, and we think if someone blasts us on social media, we're being persecuted. But you didn't get arrested for loving Jesus this week. I hope you didn't. I don't think you did. But struggle and difficulty are still real. And even Paul, as he alludes to here, perhaps because he is suffering, because he's taking away some of the enemy fire, if you will, then other believers won't have to endure that. And sometimes that's our calling, that we take the brunt so that others won't have to. That's hard to grasp sometimes, because none of us want to be in pain or agony. We want life to be smooth and easy. But Paul begins and ends this passage with struggle, affliction, that life is hard. But he has confidence, and you and I should take confidence that our struggle and the hardship of life is not in vain. Why? Because we have the hope of glory, because we have Jesus living in us. And so today I want to encourage you. I want to leave you with some questions today to think about, to respond to as you evaluate your own faith, as you look at where you are on your spiritual journey. Maybe you're just beginning, or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. But are you confident that Jesus Christ lives in you? Are you confident that Jesus Christ lives in you? If you've placed your faith in him to forgive you of your sin and to give you a brand new life, then you need to take confidence in Jesus. If you haven't done that, I would expect you to not have confidence. But that's why we're here, to help you understand that Jesus loves you He desires a relationship with you. He wants to forgive you of your sin, but he asks you to come by faith to him. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing, and if that's you, I don't have any confidence in faith. My life is terrible, and I don't see any way out, or I think I have it all figured out, but really I don't. It's a big charade, and I know that I need Jesus. We want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. We want to help you take those steps of faith. So I want to invite you in a few minutes to come and say, Lord, I need Jesus. I need the hope of glory in my life. Do you have confidence that Jesus Christ lives in you? Are you moving towards spiritual maturity? As you look back, as we're in the latter part of 2024, as you look back even on this year, are you walking closer to Jesus today than you were in January? Would people in your life testify? Would they be a witness to say, yeah, he looks like Jesus. She acts like Jesus. Not perfect, not great all the time, but I see that they're maturing and growing. Are you moving towards spiritual maturity? Easy for me to say. And finally, are you making the Word of God known? Are you sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with others? That's what Paul is getting at. That's the ministry of the church, is for us to help people experience the hope of glory found in Jesus Christ, to walk in maturity and to make him known to others. That's our goal. And that's what Paul is calling the church in the ancient world to, and that's what God's calling us to today. And so my prayer is that we would experience the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, in a fresh and new way every day, and that we would make God known to all those around us. That's my hope for us. Will you pray with me?